This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. They got you.
Hump show means you get to ask Amy anything. Try not to get so excited. Let's temper the enthusiasm a little bit. I'm not kidding you about this. I had some friends over on Tuesday evening for dinner. We did family style. We ordered about $60 worth of food, salad, soup, sandwiches, and even a flatbread pizza. And we just put it all out on the table and passed it around. It was fantastic. So it was good to hang out with some friends for a couple of hours. Oh, but when I woke up, I couldn't sleep well on Tuesday afternoon. So when I woke up, all I could think about was how there was dog hair swirling around my living room. And if I didn't clean it and dust mop before they got there, they'd be mortified. Now, these are good friends of mine. So, of course, they were mortified that I actually bothered to clean before they got there. But yeah, I spent 90 minutes dust mopping downstairs, cleaning the downstairs bathroom. I even swept and Swiffered the kitchen floor because this is how crazy I get when I have company over. And one of them hadn't seen the inside of my house, so I wanted to put the best foot forward. Anyway, it was totally worth it because the food was great and we really enjoyed the company. But here's what surprised me. When we started talking about work routines and what they look like right now, they asked me, seriously, four questions about my sleep schedule. These are my friends. I see them at least once a week, either in church or when we get together as part of our church small group. And yet somehow, just like you, peeps, their most pressing questions, the thing they wanted to know most about my life, was about my sleep schedule. Four different questions. I refrain from using my favorite line, which is, I don't understand why people are obsessed with my sleep. Anyway, I'm going to have to recognize that as long as I work these upside down hours, I call them upside down, as long as I work upside down hours and I live my life upside down, well, then people are going to be fascinated with my sleep. So yeah, by far the number one question or the number one topic that I get questioned about is my sleep. Apparently, even from my friends who've known me for years and years and years and hang out with me to eat dinner. That's what they cared most about. I almost said, please, uncle, can we talk about something else? So that's my only caveat for this edition of Ask Amy Anything. No questions about my sleep. I actually wrote a blog post once about my sleep just so I could try to answer. It was actually a FQA, FAQ, frequently asked questions. I just thought I would head it off at the pass and answer your questions that I get most commonly. So maybe I'll share that blog post again so you can get whatever answers it is that you most desire, because these questions I get all the time, and sleep, number one thing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In fact, if I were the topic of a Family Feud question and you had them all ranked in order, let's say the top seven answers ranked by most common, and the subject was questions that Amy Lawrence is asked about her career, sleep would no doubt be 75% of the answer. It would be won by a landslide. So anyway, if you have questions about something other than my sleep schedule, it sucks. That's your answer. The sleep sucks. I suck at sleep. That's the answer. So it's not really much more fascinating than that. If you must know, it's an area in which I struggle. But I get it from my mom. She also has major sleep issues, and I'm just going to blame her for it as long as I can get away with it. If you have other questions about sports, life, cooking, food, travel, whatever it is, history. I do love history. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page named after the show, super easy. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Now, I mentioned the blog, so I want to take the opportunity. You overwhelmed me on Tuesday. I finally put the post up on our Facebook page, and I retweeted it on Twitter as well, so it's there too. But I put the post up on our show Facebook page with the link to my new blog post, and I knew that some of you who love me would take the time to read it, but I didn't realize how many of you would take time out of your Tuesday to read and to comment. Between the Facebook page and then the actual blog where you can comment as well, there were dozens and dozens of responses, and you all are very kind. I don't think I saw one negative response. At least on this occasion, those of you who had nothing good to say said nothing at all. But you all are awesome. I can tell the people who read it too, because the ones who read it actually commented on the meat of the blog. Others of you were just drawn by the picture of Penny. There is a picture of Penny in the blog. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wish I could respond to every single one of you on Facebook. I'm giving you the thumbs up. That's me. I'm actually going through and reading your comments and liking them because this is personal for me. And it matters that you read what I write. You don't have to. Sometimes you're kind of stuck listening to me, but you definitely don't have to read what I write. And this blog post was my first new one in 11 months. I really did want to write over the last year, but I didn't. I either lacked inspiration or I was lost in chaos, as many of us were. And so this was a personal post for me, and a lot of that came out. So thank you. You all are very kind. You don't have to support me personally. You definitely don't have to send notes to encourage me, and you do it anyway. So thank you. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also on our Facebook page, but you all are awesome. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I wish I could tell each and every one of you thank you, but thank you. So now, moving forward, because I don't want to get all teary-eyed on you, we will get to your questions for Ask Amy about a half hour from now, but a few things inside the sports world. Things, that is the technical term. A few things. Some stuff. Stuff. Every time I say the word stuff, I think of Oreo double stuff and think, ooh, be really tasty right now with a glass of milk. But I digress. So stuff inside the sports world that we need to attend to. Dan Campbell, he was a guest on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio on Tuesday. And I love this because I'd heard or seen quotes, I guess. I'd read quotes from Dan Campbell about his infamous kneecap biting introductory press conference. And he's a character. I'm excited to see his energy and his intensity on the sidelines in Detroit. But in case you forgot, this was how Dan Campbell introduced himself as a brand new head coach in the NFL.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters. And you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
See, here's the deal. He is extremely serious. This is the intensity that you get from Dan Campbell. And yet I cannot hear it without laughing. I'd never heard anyone else use that particular action verb, biting kneecaps. I think it's fantastic because you won't forget it. So on Tiki and Tierney on Tuesday, he was asked about the infamous biting kneecaps comments and whether or not he had planned those.
Listen, for all the listeners here that think that I don't understand that if you bite a kneecap, that's a personal foul, believe me, I know that, all right, 100%. And so I know that we really won't be biting kneecaps off, or we'll have plenty of penalty yards. But there again, it was meant for this community, for this area. I didn't think of it at the time, but I really wasn't worried about what the outside world kind of thought about it. It was really for our community and our players.
You shouldn't be worried about anybody else except for your fan base, your bread and butter, so to speak, your core. Isn't that what Freddie Kitchens was doing, playing to the Cleveland Browns fan base when he gave us the line of, if you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter? That's what Dan Campbell is trying to say. We'll use the cliche, circle the wagons, right? It's the Lions against the world.
You don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter.
On cue, Coach Kitchens, yes. So we laugh about it now because his tenure as the head coach was cut extremely short. But that's the idea. Forget what anybody outside Detroit thinks. What you're worried about is getting your locker room all on the same page, building
chemistry.
And
on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap.
We're going to bite that one too. But I wonder, I wish we could get some honest responses. Like in the moment, it would have been great to have a Zoom call or a camera on some of the Lions if they were actually listening to their new head coach while he was speaking live. If they would ever give us the authentic reaction, because I imagine theirs was just like ours. No one's ever heard that before, which is why we will never forget it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
I really went off the top of my head. I would say it was just kind of something bubbling up. And to me, I was just thinking about, all right, I got this press conference in my head, and I was just thinking about the community, and I was thinking about, man, if our team could take on the identity of this city, I think that'd be a good thing. And if they would think the way these people think and to be able to overcome adversity, I just think there's a correlation between the two.
Everything that he's saying should resonate with Detroit Lions fans. It definitely should resonate with the city of Detroit. But the way he said it was completely and utterly unique and will likely never be replicated again in the history of the NFL. I'm fairly confident in saying that, but he swears it was off the cuff, and I can imagine who writes down, we're going to bite your kneecap, or we're going to be biting kneecaps. Good stuff. Now, Dan Campbell already in the throes of one of the biggest moves of the early offseason, which is the quarterback swap of Matthew Stafford, who did come to an agreement with the team, right? So even pre-Dan Campbell, it was pretty obvious that Matthew Stafford didn't want to be part of a rebuilding project as much as he loves Detroit. So he had already kind of decided, and it was reported that he was going to look for an opportunity elsewhere, but he went through the proper channels. He went about it the right way. He didn't go on the Dan Patrick show. Sorry, Dan. I know Dan personally. Dan's fine. But he didn't take the opportunity on a radio show to criticize the offensive line and to say that he felt like he should be involved in personnel decisions to try to put pressure on his team and his front office. No, he went to the owner. He went to the general manager. He talked to them about why he felt like it was best that they part ways. And I actually believe it was mutual in the case of Matthew Stafford and the Lions. I like the fact that they understand that he gave 12 years of his career to that franchise and wants to compete for a title. So all that to say, Stafford is now in Los Angeles and Dan Campbell has Jared Goff. You may or may not remember, but they've been really, really pointed about this fact in Detroit. Goff wasn't a throw-in. They wanted Jared Goff in this trade. Okay, so Jared Goff is the quarterback that will be starting for Detroit moving forward unless something happens, whether it's an injury. But they wanted Jared Goff. They asked for him to be part of this deal. It wasn't just a, hey, we'll give you our quarterback because we're taking yours, and we'd rather do that than give you another first-round draft pick. No, it was reported widely out there that the Campbell-led Lions, that the Lions, the front office, as well as Coach Campbell, wanted to work with Jared Goff. And so that was kind of the big early move, and Campbell was asked about that by Tiki and Tierney.
Stafford's done an unbelievable job. He's been a hell of a quarterback for a long time. He's very talented. He's a great, great human being. I've talked to him multiple times, and it's been nothing but, you know, it's just been outstanding. And golf is, nobody's won more games in golf over his career than freaking Tom Brady. And he's a winner. He's durable, and he's tough. He's got a quiet toughness about him.
I like the fact that there's no hard feelings there when it comes to the quarterback swap, but to Matthew Stafford. There's no way that the Lions should be anything but thrilled for him to get an opportunity. And so we've seen that move, and we know the Lions are starting over in a lot of ways, but Jared Goff is still really young. I don't think the book's been shut on him any more than I think the book has been closed on Carson Wentz. So he has a new opportunity, and if he can stop turning the ball over, no doubt, that will increase his confidence and get him back to the point where he is not second-guessing and hesitating. And you could really see that confidence take a hit. There were some public criticisms by Sean McVay, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, okay? I mean, Sean McVay is an offensive guy. He has high standards. We know he also moves on relatively quickly from his offensive toys. We've seen that pattern develop with the Rams. But you got to know your personnel. You got to know whether or not your guys and which guys are going to respond to that type of criticism and which guys are going to not necessarily respond the way that you want them to. So whether or not the marriage between Jared Goff and Sean McVay and Goff and the Rams was irreparable, I don't think that's the case. But I do think it's cool for Jared that he has a place to go where he feels like he's wanted, because that honestly can be a major piece of thriving in a new environment. I mean, I know that to be the case for me personally. When I left my previous network, I felt like I had outgrown the place and I just didn't fit the formula anymore. But when I got to CBS Sports Radio, the two bosses that hired me, they just wanted me to be Amy. And I remember the first 12 to 18 months, I would run into former colleagues of mine, and they'd been listening to the show, and all they kept telling me was, you sound so much more confident. You sound so much more comfortable. You just sound like you are being Amy, which is weird to say, but I hope that you understand what I mean, that you're you and you're not trying to be something that doesn't fit you. You're not trying to be something that a boss wants you to be. You're just being Amy. And I think that's where the confidence came from, is because my bosses just wanted me to be me. They didn't want me to try to be like the men. They didn't want me to try to be like some other, you know, personality. Just be who you are, and we believe that that will make a good show. And so it that confidence and feeling like you're wanted, that does go a long way toward you finding a comfort zone and finding a rhythm and finding a groove, whether it's an athlete or whether it's an employee in another position. All right, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're getting close. After Hours CBS on Twitter. My Twitter is ALawRadio if you want to find the blog post, or if you want to tell me your bright idea for Chicago's quarterback. They got a plan, but the plan is they don't have a plan. And then also on our Facebook page. So everything you need is on our Facebook page too.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Defensively, and this is obvious.
Get him, Kenny.
Oh! You set me up, Ernie.
Hey. What do you mean, me? Hey.
You set me up, Ernie.
What
you set me up, Ernie.
What is that down
hey.
There?
Hey, I'm waiting on you, big fella. I'm waiting on you.
Okay, Ernie.
Don't blame me.
Yes, you did.
Man.
You tied around my leg.
No, I did.
Yes, you did.
How am I going to tie
someone
around
Ernie.
Down goes Shaq. Down goes Shaq.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. Classic moment. And for that reason, Shaquille O'Neal is already an After Hours Hall of Fame inductee. Never a dull moment. I don't always agree with those goofballs, but I think that's the point. I think that they are generating conversation and that they're attempting to draw attention. So sometimes they get way off the beaten path, but it is entertaining and it's worth the watch or the listen. especially when Shaq and Barkley start going at each other and Shaq flashes the rings and Barkley's really got no answer for that, but he tries to come up with one anyway. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, straight ahead, Ask Amy Anything. So 15 minutes, the clock is ticking. The hourglass has been flipped over. You can send your last-minute submissions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. While we're talking about the NBA, Nate McMillan takes over as the interim head coach in Atlanta, and he replaces Lloyd Pierce in what was a move that caught a lot of people around the league off guard. You may have seen some of the posts, some of the quotes from guys like, say, Greg Popovich or Rick Carlisle, different established figures and voices in the NBA that thought this was a really bad move and a bad look for the Atlanta Hawks in letting Lloyd Pierce go at this point in a season. They do have Nate McMillan on the staff, and he's got a long tenure in the NBA as a coach as well as the head coach, in fact, most recently with the Indiana Pacers. But he never thought that this was a possibility. That's what he said when he addressed the media on Tuesday.
The thought process was, at first, that wasn't something that I really was going to do, because it was really a surprise to me. You know, when I spoke with Travis about that, I told him that wasn't what I came here for.
I can understand that, and I appreciate hearing it from him, but I don't know how many people out there think that Nate McMillan took this job with Lloyd Pierce so that if Pierce got fired, that he would end up as the interim head coach. So he says he reluctantly agreed to step in as the interim, but there is one big reason that he did so.
I talked with Coach Pierce, and we had a conversation about, you know, the team and the move, and he felt that I could step in and do a good job with the team. And he basically, you know, felt that I should take this opportunity.
He led the Hawks against the Heat on Tuesday, so his first game as the interim head coach, and they did end up beating Miami. Atlanta is 15-20 on the season, and as much as you can look at the standings and see the Hawks at 11th in the Eastern Conference, I just want to point out yet again that the East is thick around the middle. So right now the Hawks are sitting eight games behind the Sixers. Okay, so from number one to number 11 in the East, 8 games separating the top 11 teams, which is crazy. But then if you break it down even more, and let's say you go from the Celtics at number 4, Celtics, Knicks, Raptors, Heat, Charlotte. I don't know why I said it like that. Celtics, Knicks, Raptors, Heat, Hornets. Those are all playoff teams right now in the East, and they are literally separated by a game and a half. 5 playoff spots in the NBA's Eastern Conference that are separated by a mere game and a half. But if you stretch it out down to where the Hawks are and you go 9, 10, 11, it's only another game and a half for those 3 teams. And remember, it's 7 through 10 who take part in this new kind of crazy wrinkle for the NBA postseason, this play-in tournament of sorts. So, yes, they're underachieving, and the Suns management and ownership had greater expectations for this young group of Hawks, but they are so very much in it still. And I appreciate that Lloyd Pierce thinks more of the team than he does of himself, and he was willing to say to his friend and a member of his coaching staff, Nate McMillan, "You're the best guy for the job. I'm not going to have the job anymore." And you can imagine a lot of people would feel bitter about being fired. But he wanted Nate to step in to try to keep the continuity and to be the voice that would guide the players in the locker room through this transition. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. McMillan has coached with the Seattle Supersonics. That's right. I do remember him on the sidelines with the Seattle Supersonics. In fact, he played with them, so that was his alma mater, so to speak, as an NBA veteran. He coached in Portland, and then, as I mentioned, in Indiana. And right now, this is an interim job, but you wonder whether or not it might turn into something else if the Hawks can surge or soar from this point forward. And he says, hey, I can't be Lloyd Pierce. I can't be anything except for what I am, and that's Nate McMillan.
For me, I just have to be me and be myself. You know, that's the one thing that I told Coach Pierce when I came down to work with him. You know, that was my advice to him, was to be yourself, teach what you know. And, you know, I think you would be okay. That's what I'm going to do. I got to be myself.
It's almost bittersweet, right? Coach McMillan was brought in as a veteran voice to speak to Lloyd Pierce, to kind of teach him and train him and guide him through a process of becoming a head coach. And he convinced McMillan to be part of his staff because he wanted to learn from him. And McMillan, for his turn, has now said, I'm a believer in Coach Pierce. He sold me on his plan. And so I wanted to come here to Atlanta to try to make a difference on his staff. And so when there's a relationship like that, and you're taking over for your friend, there's always an element of kind of bittersweet, feeling bad for your friend, but recognizing that you have a job to do. And he's been all over the place in the NBA as an athlete, as a coach, and so he can do it. But it's important to remember, too, that the Hawks have been hamstrung by injuries to veteran players. And so they've missed a lot of games, a lot of man time to injuries. And that's not on Lloyd Pierce. And to be only five games below 500 and to still right be there in the mix, this feels like it was a quick trigger. But there were definitely high expectations in Atlanta. So we'll see how it works with Nate McMillan. This is not something you know, where Lloyd Pierce lost the locker room and they had to make a change because the players weren't listening to him anymore. No, it's not that at all. So we know the coach often plays the role of scapegoat, regardless of sport. That's very often how it turns out. And I hope for Lloyd Pierce that his friend Nate McMillan can kind of validate what Coach Pierce started with these Hawks. Hey, we've got college hoops on our mind as well. You know, Saturday, a lot of teams on the bubble and tournament seeds are still very much up for grabs with Selection Sunday a week and a half away. CBS cruising into the month of March with a college basketball triple header. So Saturday we begin at noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. Georgetown at Connecticut. Oh, the old Big East. The new Big East? No, it's not. Followed by number 6, Alabama at Georgia. That's SEC. And then a Pac-12 matchup between number 19, USC and UCLA. March is here, baby. I still can't fully compute that. The road to the Final Four continues Saturday with a College Hoops triple header on CBS. Straight ahead, your chance to ask Amy anything, anything at all except for about sleep. So get your last questions in to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. You ask me about sleep, I'll tell you it sucks. I suck at it, and I desperately need some. How about that? I just answered all your questions.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Is it just me or the porn bots out in full force on Twitter again? Maybe they're just singling me out, which would seem weird, but maybe I'm special. I am on a mission to block every single one of them. I never give up on that mission, no matter how futile it seems. But yeah, it does appear as though the porn bots are back on Twitter, and they're back and worse than ever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for your questions ahead of time for Ask Amy Anything. I trust you. We have established that trust and that relationship. Coming up, by the way, Tom Brady explains his whole Vince Lombardi trophy toss at the boat parade for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl win. Producer Dave is armed and dangerous with his questions. What do you got for me?
Let's do it. So Anthony wants to know, Whenever you travel to either different states or different countries, do you collect something each time you go? He says he collects a shot glass. His wife needs a magnet for the fridge.
I don't. I usually try to eat local food. So some local flair when I go out to eat, if I do. For instance, when I go on vacation to the beach, I try to find some fresh fish from a local fish stand and to cook it while I'm there. Or if I can't do a local restaurant, or in addition to doing a local restaurant, I just prefer pictures. To me, those are valuable. And the camera that I have on my phone, so I have an old Galaxy phone, but the camera is what I adore about it. It's a 16 megapixel camera, takes amazing photos. And those I save on my computer, periodically go through my phone and kind of empty it out. So for me, the photos are the mementos as opposed to, you know, something particular that I bring back, like a knickknack. Every now and then, if there's maybe, again, something that's local, I will bring back something that I think will add to my house or decor. So I do love shells when I go to the beach, and I do have different collections of shells from different beach trips. And it's not that I don't think mementos are cool. It's just that I know me, and a couple years down the road, the significance won't be quite the same. Now, when I went to Alaska, I bought a couple of things in Alaska that I brought home with me. One was a fleece. So it was happened to be a cooler day in Alaska, Ketchikan, when I was there. So I bought a fleece that says Alaska. I'll buy a hat every now and then if I go to a place where I see a cool hat. But for the most part, I'm a picture girl. That's how I remember the different travels that I take.
Well, that is a very easy transition to our next question.
Sweet.
Danielle wants to know, what is your oldest keepsake from when you were a kid?
Really? My oldest keepsake. So it has to be something meaning special?
Something maybe you've had from when you were a little kid, something that means something to you that you've held on to all these years.
Okay, well, a couple. When I was 8 years old, my mom gave me a stuffed rabbit. So I'm a huge stuffed animal fan. I still have a few. I've given away a lot of them to children's hospitals or to different charitable organizations. But I love stuffed animals. And when I was a kid, my mom gave me this stuffed bunny. And she's wearing a purple and white lacy apron. So it's an Easter bunny. And she's really loved well. She's a little bit shabby, but I have her. Her name is Daisy. And so I still have her in my spare bedroom. She sits with a couple of other stuffed animals that are special to me. One of them was given to me when I moved into my first dorm room my freshman year in college. My mom gave me this giant gray huggable bear. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say it's giant. The bear is the bear is probably 5 feet tall, and kind of he slumps over and he gives you a hug. He's got arms that are outstretched. Anyway, I love this bear. He still sits also on my spare bedroom. His name is Brewster. So the very first night that I was feeling a little homesick away from home in college my freshman year, mom gave me this bear because she was sad too. She left me and drove 10 hours home back to New Hampshire. So couple of stuffed animals. I would say that Daisy, though, the one that I got when I was 8 years old. And then I have a bank. It's one of those tacky kind of banks that you got when you were a kid. And it's a weirdly enough, it's also a rabbit, but it's this gaudy gold rabbit with green eyes. I don't remember exactly when I got it, but I know that my mom gave one to me and one to my brother when we were kids. So I also have, it's ugly. It's ugly as sin. But I keep it, and it's out because I love it. And one more thing I'll say too, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, and my mom gave me a Bible when I was 12, and they both wrote in it, and I still have that Bible. In fact, it's the main Bible that I used. The binder is completely coming apart, so it's in a case now, but it's also special to me because it was given to me by my grandmother and my mom together.
That's a nice one. So Taylor wants to know, knowing that you obviously talk about sports all day, every day, and you
That's
play...
That's so not true.
All day, every day. It's the only thing you talk
24/7.
About. 24/7. We all know this. That you also played sports. Taylor wants to know if you have any coaching experience.
I do, actually. I coached kids ball. So a couple of different levels of kids ball. I did camps when I was younger and I coached like junior high kids. Love that age. They're sassafrases, and yet they still will listen to you when you talk to them. At least they did when I was coaching. But then I gave private basketball lessons to some younger kids. So fifth graders, sixth graders, I enjoyed that as well. Just kind of teaching them basics of basketball. I've also worked with high school kids, so not as a head coach, but I've been an assistant on other teams. So mostly young people, junior high, high school would be the age where I'd really enjoy it. I have been asked a lot, would you consider college coaching? Basketball, of course, although I could do softball too. But the part that I would never want to do is in college, the recruiting process never stops. It's not, even when you're in the middle of a season, you're off taking trips to recruit the next class of athletes. And I could never do that. I'm not a salesperson. If I get rejected, I generally tend to take it personally. So I'm not a good recruiter. I don't know that I'm super persuasive. But either way, that's the part of coaching that I would never do at a level beyond high school. But I did enjoy it. And if I had an opportunity to do it again, 2 years ago, a local high school in my state offered me a job to coach girls varsity basketball, but there was no way to do it with this schedule and also do play-by-play at the same time, which I do on the side in college hoops. So I had to turn it down, but I did get offered a job 2 years ago, and I didn't know how to make it work with the overnight schedule.
That'd be very cool. I'm just hoping for me that my little guy wants to play sports in some team capacity, because I would love to coach him.
But if he wants to play piano instead, that would be awesome. If he wants to take ballet,
exactly.
It would be amazing.
I grew up playing the piano and playing sports.
Oh, I'm not going to say taking ballet. That would be so fun.
And that too, secretly? No.
I didn't take dance lessons, but I did play piano.
And my dad was my coach, so it would be nice to kind of pass that along. But there's no transition to our next question, so I'm just going to ask it. It's weird, but I love it.
It's weird. Oh, no. Okay.
Well, Jennifer,
I'm ready.
Is creative. If you could give any athlete, dead or alive, truth serum and then interview them, who would that athlete be?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. How do you narrow it down to just one? I'm going to keep this on the lighter side, because there are some that I'd really like to know what actually happened, if you catch my drift. But we're not going to go that path. Instead, I'll say Tom Brady is an obvious one that comes to mind, because he gives you this all-American boy persona. But I kind of believe that behind the scenes, now we saw a glimpse of that with the emails about Peyton Manning, remember, and how competitive he was. I honestly think the man wants to, this is why he will not retire, because he wants to own every friggin' NFL quarterback record known to man. And he is absolutely competing with the ghost of Peyton Manning. You get what I'm saying. And Peyton's still around, too. He never goes away. Now he's making money with his commercials and his TV shows and everything else. So I do believe that there's more of a competitive nature there with Tom Brady. Plus, I'd love to hear some of his truth about Bill Belichick and what that relationship was really like and how he really feels about him when, of course, he's telling us everything, not just the good stuff. So Tom Brady's one that comes to mind. You know, I wouldn't mind hearing from Kyrie Irving. Do you really believe that the earth is flat? And do you believe any of the crap that you spew out of your mouth? So that would be another one. Let me think. In the NFL, we just did NFL. Let's see. In golf, wouldn't you love to know all the truth behind some of the stories about Tiger Woods? But also, he was so private for so many years that I would love to know some of the stories that he would never let us in on. And I don't necessarily mean his family. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about how he blew up his family. But I would like to hear, again, all the stuff he kept in a vault for so many years and that it all came crashing down. I'd like to kind of give him truth serum and say, yo, man, just be honest with us and tell us exactly how you feel about all this stuff.
I couldn't help but go down the rabbit hole in my brain when I read that question. Because you could either, it's like all the people who supposedly cheated or something in sports.
Or been accused of something.
Deflated footballs and things like that.
Oh, I forgot about that seat that comes under Tom Brady. Did you actually know about the deflated footballs?
That's it. Just answer us.
Just answer the question, man. Yes or no?
Or those private people like a Derek Jeter who never give you anything in a press conference. Now we got to hear what's going on.
Do you believe the reports, though, of the gift baskets that he used to give his paramours?
And then there's that. On to Jeff. Jeff wants to know, when you retire, do you know what city, state, or country you want to live in?
I'm never living anywhere outside the United States. I will visit, and I do believe that every American should go to a third world country, even if you just observe and you recognize how blessed we are here. And I know our country's not perfect, but I am an American, and this is always where I will live. It's where my heart is home. But in terms of state and city, I have no idea. I'm not married yet. I don't have kids yet. At some point, I believe that that will happen. And so I don't know. I mean, it's hard to make that plan. And with the radio broadcasting industry as volatile as it is, I really can't even assume that I'll still have a job when my contract runs out at the end of this year. So, yeah, I don't. At this point, I'm a day at a time. I'm a week at a time. I'm a contract at a time. And I'm probably going to be like my mom, who's still working full time at 74 and a half years old. Could you imagine? Probably not in this job, but I'll find another job just so that I can get out of the house.
Hey, listen, my grandfather's 95. He'd still be working if he could. So there are people who like to work for forever.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look into the future again. Alexa wants to know, what will be the make, model, and the name of your next car?
Again, how am I supposed to know that? For instance, if I don't have a contract and I don't have a job after 2021, well, Princess Leia doesn't... Here, I'll answer it this way. Princess Leia doesn't get paid off until 2023. So it's summer of 2023 when she is paid off. I will be thrilled when that moment comes. But I do plan to drive her for a few years after that if I can. So my goal for this particular vehicle has always been 300,000 miles. I'm just now approaching 100,000 miles. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, I end up with a really nice job. My dream car has been a Lexus SUV. I could never afford a new one, but maybe a used Lexus SUV. That'd be kind of fun. Though I really like Subaru, too. This car has been fantastic. So who knows? Maybe I just stick with another Princess Leia relative, and we'll call her... Well, we'll call her Rey.
Just like that. There you go. And a quick, easy one to finish up. Gary wants to know what your favorite flavor of ice cream is.
Chocolate chip, baby. I know it's boring, but chocolate chip. Chocolate chip with stuff on top. Whether it's coconut, whether it's sprinkles, whether it's whipped cream. I just love chocolate chip ice cream. Homemade, though, is the best. So all natural chocolate chip ice cream is fantastic. Thank you for all of your questions. Gosh, quickly came up with a lot of names that I would never actually say to you. Truth serum for athletes. Yes, tell me everything.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.